You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
Garibaldi at Squamish is a massive new ski development that's being proposed for an area bordered by the town of Squamish, Alice Lake Provincial Park, and Garibaldi Provincial Park. Public comment into the environmental assessment process ended this week in the midst of intense and widespread opposition in Squamish. A broad coalition of business and organizations has formed to oppose the development, which they say threatens an important natural area and wildlife populations and will have a negative social and economic outcome for the Squamish community. Catherine Jackson is president of the Squamish Environmental Conservation Society, and she joins me this morning from Squamish. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, Jane.
Now, I said it was massive. How big is it, actually?
The whole area covers 5,900 hectares, and there's close to 5,800 housing units being proposed, as well as two golf courses.
Hectares never really do much for me. What does that correspond to in terms of, say, for example, if we compare it to Squamish?
It's about, I think, a third of the existing size of Squamish as it is.
Yeah. A third of the size of Squamish?
Mm-hmm. And it going up the hillside right up to Brome Ridge.
And it's going to have almost 6,000 new houses?
That's right. Condominiums, single-family townhomes, hotels.
And not just one golf course, but two golf courses?
Yeah, one is planned for the interpretive forest, where there's trails on the west side of the highway.
Uh-huh.
And that's by Brome Lake, and then the other one's planned for the other side by Cat Lake.
And what about the ski area itself? How many lifts is that going to have, for example?
Well, that's quite interesting. There's 25 lifts planned, and I think Whistler Blackcomb currently have in the region of 32, 34 lifts. So it's quite interesting. I guess they've put so many lifts in because they get more bed units awarded to them if they have more lifts.
Wow. And I guess a whole lot of roads to service all this.
98 kilometers of roads. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So it's really will have a significant impact on the whole that whole area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about the environmental impacts of this size of development. Which natural areas are going to be lost?
Well, the whole area has 17 at-risk species. Apparently it's suitable for 17 at-risk species because of the way that the ecological values there. Their own studies have shown that. But the biggest water system there is the Brome Creek watershed, and the proponents plan to use the water supply from the upper reaches of the Brome Creek tributaries to fill 5 reservoirs, and these reservoirs are planned to supply water for the whole resort for the year. And that's 22,000 bed units that they're planning, plus skier visits, plus snowmaking, plus golf course irrigation from these small tributaries to Brome Creek. It's quite amazing.
So the water that's being taken out Brome Creek, then presumably to be returned as wastewater, what would that water, where would it go otherwise?
Well, staying in the Brome Creek tributaries the way it is, it eventually runs down into the Chikai River, and then the Chikai goes into the Squamish River. But what's unique about Brome Creek is because of historic volcanic activity in the area, it has a really high level of phosphates, and this creates a really unique ecosystem where little bugs can thrive that the steelhead trout really flourish on. So it's a really productive ecosystem for steelhead trout. It actually produces 3 to 8 times the number of steelhead trout of other similar streams in the lower mainland. It's called the crown jewel for steelhead trout. And, of course, these trout go out into the Chikai and supply the Squamish River. So it's really important for the Squamish River fishery.
And I guess they're not probably going to do too well if you take out all that water and then put it back in as wastewater.
Well, this is it. And there's been, if you look at the, everything is accessible to the public on the Environmental Assessment Office website. And so you can look at the provincial criticisms of and local criticisms of the studies that have been done by the proponents, and there's been some really significant comments and issues raised by the regional biologist and the regional hydrologist on this. There's confusion, for a start, on the methodology of the, that they've used to get the data for to work out how much the water supply is per year, and also they haven't really established how the reservoirs are going to be replenished and what effect this will have on the fish and fish habitat. And the regional biologist has criticized the plan because they plan to remove the water in May and June freshet, and that is exactly the time when the steelhead trout need the extra water to surmount obstacles so they can go back, well, in and out between the system and Howe Sound.
Now, the developer is presenting this as a great economic opportunity for Squamish. What's your response to that?
Well, yeah, if things go according to plan, but, you know, with any kind of business proposition, there's always risk involved. And really what's being asked here is for the community of Squamish to enter in that risk. I mean, the only way it can move forward is if the boundaries of the District of Squamish were expanded to include this. And then, of course, we as taxpayers would all be taking on this long-term project. And the question is, really, is the product there? There's been doubt expressed by experts that have seen that area, that the terrain is not suitable for a good ski hill. It the snow is wet and heavy, and it's very, you know, it's near the coast, so it's not consistent. And the aspect is wrong. It's not. It's facing south and southwest, which is the wrong aspect. But more to the point, we are actually half an hour away from world-class skiing in Whistler and Blackcomb. And so with questionable terrain and the fact that people have to actually travel up to around 1,075 meters to the base, so they'll be, you know, doing switchbacks all the way up, by the time they get to Brougham Ridge base, they would be, you know, within 10 minutes of Whistler Blackcomb, which is more attractive as a ski area. So, you know, in the long term, what would we be, is it going to be viable?
Now, some critics have described the development process as a land grab and said essentially that the ski hill is a Trojan horse. What do they mean by that?
Well, it's true that the province would sell the Crown land for a fraction of its real worth for something like this. I think it's 5 or 10% of the real worth, and so, you know, you buy land cheap and you build lots of houses, sell them at market value, and it's with the highway improvements, Squamish is very attractive, especially developments that are near the highways. So yeah, a lot of people are saying that building this number of houses, it's not really about the ski hill, it's about the real estate. And the proponents themselves say, well, this is the model that works these days. You have to have real estate. You can't just build a ski hill. The infrastructure is too expensive. And the real estate finances it. And especially in this area, because there's absolutely nothing there, it's a really steep ridge. And so the cost of the infrastructure will be absolutely astronomical, and so to finance it, they have to build all these houses. And that's really what they're referring to in terms of the Trojan horse. It's, the ski hill is almost just, you know, it's an excuse for the real estate.
Why is the developer getting the land so cheap?
Well, there has been an initiative by the province in the last few years to double tourism in BC, as you know, this is one way that we can improve our economy and instead of being so resource based, and that makes sense, of course. But I think really it comes back down to you can't just put a ski hill where there happens to be a bit of snow occasionally. You have to really examine what the area has to offer, and you know, is this the right place for a ski hill? And also, if you look at what the existing use is, there's a lot of existing users there that have been there traditionally for, you know, decades. There's snowmobilers that use Brougham Ridge. They have a cabin up there that they use every year. There's dirt biking trails that have been hand-built over the decades, so that's an area that dirt bikers can go to. And these users do bring revenue into the area. And then, of course, Cat Lake and Brome Lake. Cat Lake has 35 forestry campsites, and the plans call for a golf course around this, so people obviously wouldn't be able to camp in the middle of a golf course. Although, you know, it would be significantly altered, the experience. And then these lakes are absolutely hugely used through the summer for swimming. You go at any sunny day like today, and there'll be, you know, 60 cars or so on the highway parking lot and for Brome Lake, and the same at Cat Lake. It's not like this area is not being used already for a number of uses.
So it's being used by animals, it's being used by fish, it's being used by people. It's not some, not that anywhere ever is just some piece of wilderness of no value.
No, that's true. But what's unique about this piece is that it's so easily accessible. You know, it's accessible because the highway is right there, and it's being enjoyed by people of Squamish, but also people of the Lower Mainland. You know, you go to Cat Lake for a weekend, and there's people from Vancouver and Fraser Valley there, you know, and beyond. So it's a place that everyone is enjoying the way it is. Plus, like you say, we have this unique wildlife habitat there, and you know, all these uses are intermeshed and working very well, and they have been working very well. And if you think about displacing snowmobilers, there's no plan of where they would go. There's no other alternative area. Dirt bikers is the same. There's no alternative area that's been suggested. And that's another concern in Squamish, because we have really amazing mountain bike trails here in Squamish. And so far, you know, dirt bikers having that area means that there's less pressure on the trails within Squamish for mountain bikers. So right now, we're, you know, it's a win-win situation for all of us. We're all, you know, Squamish has world-class mountain biking, world-class climbing, world-class wind sports and sea sports, but it's not known for its skiing. So it seems like, I think, that we should be sticking to what we're best at and promoting what we're best at, and keeping these lakes for the enjoyment of future generations.
Now, public comment into the environmental assessment has now ended. Where does the process for approvals of the project go from here?
Yeah, the clock, the environmental assessment process, actually, every proponent has 180 days in which to gather their material and put it together as a case that this wouldn't be harmful to the area in question. And as I said, so far the provincial ministries do have expressed in writing many concerns, but the clock has, I think, another 10 days on it. Although you can't express public comment anymore, the clock is still ticking for the proponent to gather any more information that they need to in the last remaining days. Then it finishes, and the environmental assessment officer writes a report, which he submits to the Minister of Environment, and at the same time, a report goes also to the Ministry for Sports, Culture and the Arts. And 45 days after that, the ministers will make a decision and either issue an environmental certificate or not. And then if it is approved, that's when the development agreement is drawn up between the ministries and the proponent, and then negotiations would take place. There'd be an application to the District of Squamish to expand their boundaries to include this. There's two options that this, in technical terms, that this can happen. One is that the SLRD takes it on with the Squamish Lillooet Regional District as a resort in their own district, or the Squamish district expands the boundaries, and the Squamish Lillooet Regional District have made it very clear that it's way too big a project for them, and they don't really agree with this kind of sprawling growth. Urban is not part of their regional growth plan. So really the only way it can move forward is if the district agrees that, you know, as a community, we agree that we want to take it on, and then the application is made, and then the official community plan would be changed and zoning rezoning would take place.
Well, Catherine, I'm going to point people towards your website, and I know that there's a petition there that people can sign if they have concerns about it. And I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your attention on this issue, and I think it's wonderful that you can highlight it, because you know, this area is very valuable for a number of reasons, and if you do have any concerns, it's not too late to write to the ministers themselves and the Premier and let them know how you feel.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've been speaking with Catherine Jackson. She's with the Squamish Environmental Conservation Society, and the website you can go to get more details on the issue and connect to a petition is savegaribaldi.org.